So glad that you're here. Y'all stand up with us if you can. We find ourselves lacking. Remember God's infinite capacity for love, kindness, and mercy.
What love could remember no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, He counts not their song. Thrown into a sea without bottom.
Goes what the song just said. Our sins, they are many. We're a broken people. We're a sinful people in need of a Savior. It also says that His mercy is more. That His mercies cover our sinfulness and our brokenness. We can rejoice in our assurance of pardon through Christ Jesus. So But first, let's confess our need for him this morning. Heavenly Father, have mercy on us. We have not loved you as you deserve. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We have not obeyed you as we should. Lord, forgive us our sin. We are in need of a Savior. And for those of us that believe in Christ's life, death, and his resurrection, there's hope for us, church. There's mercy through Christ Jesus. And his death and his resurrection covers all of our sins. We see his mercy displayed. So this morning, church, believe the good news that Jesus died for us. Jesus rose for us. Jesus intercedes for us. In him, we are a new creation. In him, we have forgiveness of sin. In him, we have a Savior. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Church, as you're coming in, if you see any seats to your left, if you could scoot to your left and fill those seats so we can see what's still open, and then you can have a seat and check out these announcements.
Good morning, Fayetteville. If you're new with us today, welcome. This month, we're taking time to study Fellowships of Mission and Vision as we seek to change the heart and soul of Northwest Arkansas and the world. Here are a few ways that you can get connected this season.
Yeah, every year we're grateful to see kids and families loving Jesus more at Family Camp. Sign up and spend a fun weekend away with other families that have at least one kid in kindergarten to sixth grade. Take time to play together, worship together, and simply hang out together. Registration is open now on our website.
And parents of students in 7th to 12th grade, this Wednesday is the last day to sign up for our fall retreat with FSM. Every year we kick off cell groups with a weekend together full of games, fun, spiritual depth, and great community. You don't want to miss it, so grab your friends, grab your cell group, and sign up today. And finally, last announcement, join us this week for our monthly fellowship prayer room. Come start your Tuesday morning with a time of seeking the Lord and community. That's Tuesday at 6:30 a.m. in the Student Center. All are welcome. Now, our ministry highlight today is our Spectra Arts Community. Joanna, what's new with Spectra?
Yeah, so you might have seen the artwork on display in our foyer as you walked in this morning. Our Spectra Arts Community creates these pieces to reflect the scriptures we studied together during each sermon series. On August 31st, Spectra artists will share their most recent artwork at the Creative Collective. All are welcome, no registration is required, and light refreshments will be served. Come preview our upcoming sermon series, In the Upper Room with Jesus, and leave encouraged to dive deeper into the scriptures.
Thanks, Joanna. I think it's a really good reminder for me this Sunday that worship isn't just what we do when we sing songs. There's so many beautiful and creative ways, creative expressions of worship, and our Spectra team does such a great job putting that on display. So if you want more details and want to find out more or want to register for these gatherings, come chat with our team in the foyer today or reach out online. And if you're new with us, stop by the community booth in the foyer. We'd love to help you get connected. Community makes a big church feel smaller.
I'm going to introduce a new song that we wrote. And it says that. It's real simple. Proclaims the name of Yahweh. When we were writing this song, we were trying to figure out what we wanted to say, how we wanted to respond in light of who he is. And the only thing we could come up with was just behold him. Behold his glory, his worthiness. And so, I want to teach you this new song. I hope that it blesses you. I hope that it stirs you in worship. So if you're able to, let's stand together. Let's sing.
Came creation out of dust, he formed all men.
great to comprehend, and he saw the weight of all our sin. He took the burden of our brokenness. Well, the Savior dwelt among us, entered into all our pain. Comes, she leads us in our liturgy of giving. We proclaim the same thing with this. He's worthy of everything that we have to give.
church, let us posture our hearts before the Lord as we are reminded of his provision and invitation to worship through stewarding his blessings. King Jesus, giver of every good and perfect gift, what we have received, we return to you. We give you our time, talents, and tithes. We give you our allegiance, attention, and affection. We give you our lives in word and in deed, that all may know the riches of your love.
Y'all can have a seat. Man, that liturgy of giving hits a little different after that commissioning. All right, I could tell you I wanted to applaud the band, so let's go ahead and say thank you for that song. That was incredible. That wasn't in my script. Hey, this is Kimber Still. If you don't know Kimber and her husband, Josh, they're part of the body here at Fellowship Fayetteville. And y'all are in a community group in Prairie Grove. It's a great group. Tell us a little bit about what you're excited about for your community group as we get ready to kick things off.
Yeah, so our group is led by Michael and Sarah Pope. They are wonderful. They're in Prairie Grove. But the fun part about our group is that we all have kids. We're all kind of in that child-rearing age or stage of life, toddlers to high school. And so it's fun just to have those kids get to know one another and be able to fellowship together and while we're studying God's Word. So that's pretty amazing.
That's great. Yeah. You know what I love about my group? No one has kids.
Okay.
And so that's how community group works, right?
Exactly.
All right, so speaking of kids, yes. You have kids. They're going back to school. And you're a speech pathologist. Yes. You work with Arkansas Virtual Academy, so you'll have students you're serving. How are you praying for your kids and for your students?
Yeah, so specifically praying for my students, and most of my students are older. They don't necessarily always want to be there, and that's fine. That's sort of the stage of life they're in. But I'm just praying that I would be a safe place for them, that we could build a relationship where they know that I truly care about them and I want to know about their day, and we're just more successful that way. It's a more pleasant experience for them.
Yeah.
And then for our boys, we've got two boys, just praying that the teachers that are in their lives or people that care about them bring out the best in them. They're there for the boys if it's a hard day, if it's a good day. And they just want to know our boys, and they want to teach them, and it gets our boys excited about school.
Yeah, so, oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, it's not a coincidence that I asked Kimber to do the Liturgy of Giving today, because we have a little tradition at Fellowship Fayetteville. And that is the Sunday before our schools start, we pray for our schools, we pray for our teachers. So I want to ask you, if you're a teacher in the room, I want you to stand and stay standing. If you're an administrator, you're a paraprofessional, you're a homeschooler, if you're involved, come on, stand up. I know y'all are in here. If you work with the schools or in any way in education, stay standing for just a minute, and we're going to pray for you, and then we're going to thank you for what you do to have such an impact. You are salt and light in a place that desperately needs it, and we all appreciate that. So we want to all, let's all Fellowship Fayetteville pray together. Father, thank you for the men and women that you have strategically placed in these schools. Administrators, teachers, coaches, food service, transportation, paraprofessionals, Lord, our homeschool parents, all of them are involved in shaping the next generation, Lord. The next generation of church leaders, elders, global workers, community group leaders. They're in our schools right now. And so, Lord, I pray for each of these individuals. Strengthen them. Give them wisdom. Give them supernatural patience and self-control. And, Lord, use them to impact their coworkers, their students, and through them, our community and the world for your name's sake. And it's in your name we always pray, Jesus. Amen. Hey, let's appreciate these teachers. Thank you, Kimber. Well, my name's Michael. I'm one of the pastors here at Fellowship Fayetteville. So glad y'all are with us today. This is always meaningful for me. My mom was a teacher. My mother-in-law, my wife were teachers. My sister is still a teacher. And they're all a little disappointed because I'm a community pastor. But I'm excited about what I get to do. I'm excited about what the Lord's doing at Fellowship Fayetteville. I love this time of year. I love school's getting started again. There's excitement. I see the kids out on the field practicing football. The band's getting ready. And of course, living in an SEC college town, our college students are coming back. We love them. We're so glad to welcome them back. I'm thinking about those boys that are moving into the dorm. That first night in the dorm will be their last night on clean sheets until Christmas. But that's what back to school means in a college town. But the thing I'm really excited about, and the thing my team is excited about, is what the Lord's doing as we launch new congregations of fellowship. And so I want to invite you, if you're part of our Springdale community, if you live in and around Springdale, or you're just interested in what the Lord's doing in Springdale, there's a team working hard to get Fellowship Springdale started, and they're going to have a service on August 23rd. It'll be at 9 or 10:30 a.m. up there. That's on our Rogers campus on Pleasant Grove Road in Rogers, and the Springdale community is going to gather. They'll have worship, teaching, time of prayer, and so I want to invite you, if you're part of that community, you're interested in that, check that out. There's a lot more information on our website. You can go to fellowshipnwa.org/springdale. But I'm also very excited about what's happening in Prairie Grove. I'm part of the team working hard to start a congregation, a fellowship, just like this, in Prairie Grove. You might remember back in April, we had a service. That's a picture of it there at Prairie Grove Middle School, which is now called Prairie Grove Intermediate School. Same school. You know why they're moving grades around? Because people are moving to Prairie Grove and Farmington, that area. They've got to make room for the kids. And so we will be at Prairie Grove Intermediate School on September 13th. So get that on your calendar. If you live in Prairie Grove, Farmington, West Fork, Greenland, Lincoln, anywhere in Western Washington County, or again, you just want to be part of what God's doing out there, we would invite you to come and worship with us at the school. So like I said, I'm a community pastor, and I want to see people experience community. That's why we're doing what we're doing in Prairie Grove and in Springdale. And even if you never think you'll worship in either one of those places, you can be part of it. Number one, by praying. Please pray that God will move in Springdale and in Prairie Grove. And second, of course, by giving. You do that through our 50 by 50 church multiplication fund. I urge you, consider, pray about setting up a monthly recurring gift so that we can get these congregations off the ground. If you've got questions about that, I'll be down here after the service. I would love to talk to you about it. Well, my team, Margo, Garland, Ann, Luke, Amy, we're passionate about helping people get together. And we honestly believe, we've talked about this in our team meetings, we honestly believe that we, as a community, as a society, we need that now more than ever. The idea comes straight from the Bible. In Genesis 1, God creates everything that exists. And when he looks at the totality of everything he's created, in Genesis 1:31, he declares that it's very good. Then we turn to page 2. And on page 2, this is before the fall. This is before sin and death have entered and broken God's good creation. He sees something that's not good. What he sees that's not good is that the man is alone. From the beginning, we were created to not be alone, to be together. We need each other. And so this idea that we need each other is not new. It goes back to the very beginning of humanity. But as I mentioned, we believe that we need it now more than ever. Let me just read you a brief quote. Just listen to these words. At any moment, one out of every two Americans, one out of two, is experiencing measurable levels of loneliness. This includes introverts and extroverts, rich and poor, younger and older Americans. We need to acknowledge the loneliness and isolation that millions are experiencing and the grave consequences for our mental health, physical health, and collective well-being. Our need for human connection is like our need for food and water, essential for our survival. That quote's not from Tim Keller. It's not from Matt Chandler. It's not from some new book on Christian community. That quote was from the Surgeon General of the United States. He framed lack of connection, loneliness, as a public health problem. This is one of a whole bunch of examples of secular science, medical research, confirming what the Bible's been saying for 3,000 years. People are not to be alone. And the truth is, even in a room like this with 1,000 people, we can feel alone. There's a difference between a crowd and a connection. Proximity does not equal community. And for the church, this didn't start in the 21st century. From the very beginning of the church, the gospel went out, people believed, and boom, there were 3,000 people added to the church. Incidentally, that's about how many people we expect to host here at Fellowship Fayetteville each Sunday for the next few weeks. So what did the early church do with those 3,000 new believers? Well, that's what we're going to look at this morning. So go ahead and turn with me if you've got your Bible. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2. If you've been around these last few months, your Bible will naturally fall open to the book of Acts. We've been in Acts for weeks and weeks. We're going to go back to the well one more time this morning as we look at the end of Acts 2. Now, last week, Luke Barlow did a great job kicking off this August teaching series. And he mentioned that we're working through what we call our five promise statements, five things that we promise you will have the opportunity to experience at Fellowship. He kicked us off last week with the statement that we learn together. This morning, we're going to think about how we gather together, and specifically, how we gather in a way that creates authentic connection to Christ and to each other. So let's look at what the early church did with those 3,000 new believers. We're in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Luke, the author of Acts, says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. That Greek word translated devoted there, it has the idea of persisting, being committed to something. They were serious about it. Now, there's lots of things that your friend group might be devoted to. They might be devoted to pickleball. They might be devoted to the group of kids that all go to school together. I have a group of friends that's devoted to old cars. And all those friendships are great, and we need those. But those are not what I'm talking about this morning, because those friendships won't feed us spiritually. So these friends that formed the early church, what were they devoted to? Well, number one was the apostles' teaching. What were they teaching? Well, they were taking the Hebrew Bible and showing how it had been fulfilled in Messiah Jesus. Today we have a form of the Hebrew Bible. We call it the Old Testament. And you know who wrote the New Testament? The apostles. So when we study the Old and New Testaments and see what we can learn about following Jesus, we're being devoted to the apostles' teaching. And they were devoted to, persistent in, committed to the fellowship. Now, if you only know two Greek words, this is one of them, koinonia. It means companionship, commonality, true connection. The early church was devoted to creating that. And they were devoted to the breaking of bread. Now, we don't know if that means communion or just having a meal together, but either way, it signifies they were at the table together, whether it was a ceremonial meal or just having dinner. They were connecting over food in a powerful way, and they were devoted to prayer. Something happens when we pray together. When we come before the Lord together, it connects us to Him, but it also connects us to each other as well. So we have 3,000 people. They want them to feel connected. They want them to feel like they know someone and that they're known. So what do? They persist in togetherness. It's all through the passage. Look at it. I've highlighted it for you. They were all together. They shared what they had with all. That means they sacrificed for each other. When someone had a need, they met it because they were committed to taking care of each other. They attended temple together. We might say that was their large group or their worship celebration. And then there it is again. They broke bread in their homes. Don't miss that. In their homes. Breaking bread. It was a powerful meal in the first century. It was an important symbol for them. Having a meal with someone said, I accept you. We belong together. Remember how Jesus was criticized for eating with tax collectors and sinners? This is why. He was signaling that he accepted them. These meals in believers' homes were an important part of establishing the new church's unity. And still today, having a meal together is significant. There's a reason we strongly encourage our community groups to have some kind of meal. You don't have to put out a Branson buffet. Just having a bowl of soup together communicates something. Breaking bread is powerful. So here's what I'm driving at. The Bible says people aren't meant to be alone. It's not good for us to be isolated. The Surgeon General said we all need friends. But as Jesus followers, we don't just need friendships. We need gospel friendships. Every Jesus follower needs gospel friendship. So what makes a friendship a gospel friendship? Well, it's exactly what we saw in Acts 2. The early church realized they needed to build community following Jesus together, and so they were devoted. They were devoted to being together. And as we saw, that meant studying God's word together, being in koinonia, fellowship together, authentic fellowship, eating together, praying together. But it also meant sharing. When someone in their community had a need, they met it. And then if you had a need that could be met by the community, you gratefully accepted the help. And then they were in each other's homes, breaking bread, sharing a meal. So simple, but so powerful. So when we say we gather together, we're talking about more than just answering questions in a study guide. We're talking about gospel friendships. We're talking about having a group of people who know you, the real you, with all your faults, and people who let you know them. Not just the Instagram them, the real them. People who are willing to take off the mask and show you their faults, their struggles. We're talking about having friends who are following Jesus with you. These are people who see the world through a gospel lens. Seeing the world through a gospel lens means grace and forgiveness. It means sacrifice and service. You need friends who are living on mission with you. And so Luke, the author of Acts, who gave us that, we call it the snapshot of the early church, he gives us another snapshot. This one's found over in the Gospel of Luke, the story of Jesus' life that he recorded. It's in Luke 2:52. By the way, this is a great verse to memorize. Luke 2:52, he says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, you might read that verse and wonder what that has to do with gospel friendships. Well, this verse tells us how the young man, Jesus of Nazareth, grew. This series we're in is called Grow Together. That's the overarching theme for all of these promise statements. So maybe this verse actually gives us a model for how we grow in the context of gospel friendships. The first thing it says is that Jesus grew in wisdom. And so in the context of a gospel friendship, we might think of this as our mental health. How are our friends doing with their mental health? Are they thriving? Are they learning? Are they growing in biblical wisdom and knowledge? My gospel friends encourage me to be a lifelong learner. They encourage me to keep stretching my mind and allowing the Lord to transform my mind through His Spirit and His Word. And then it mentions Jesus' stature. And for our gospel friendships, that means physical health. We care about the physical health of our gospel friends. These physical bodies we have are a gift from God. And so we care about the whole person. We care about their health and how they're doing physically. And then it says he grew in favor with God. That's our spiritual life. This is central to a gospel friendship. Asking our gospel friends about their walk with Christ, what he's teaching them, what he's showing them. Our gospel friends encourage us, and they hold us accountable in our sin struggles. Our gospel friends are always pointing us to Jesus and reminding us of the truth of the gospel. And then lastly, it says he grew in favor with man. That means with people. That's our relational world. Our gospel friends lean in. They ask us how we're doing in our relationships, in our home, with our neighbors, in our workplace, or within our small group. See, our relational world is the world where we can share Christ. That's where we can evangelize. So we support and encourage each other there. So there you have it. Our gospel friends encourage us in our mental health, our physical health, our spiritual health, and our relational health. Now the teacher in me wants to say, I don't know about you, but I need that. See, that's a great teacher trick. It lets me come alongside you. Like, hey, we both need this together. But I can't use that trick. You know why? Because I do know. I can't say, I don't know if you need this. You need this. And so do I. We all do. And so what I want to say to you is this. If you have this, if you've created space in your life and you have gospel friends, keep going. Go deeper. Go together. And broaden the circle. Bring people in who desperately need gospel friendships like you have. Remember what your mama told you? The best way to make a friend is to be a friend. Still true. And if you don't have this in your life, if you think about your friends and what you have are fantasy league friends, classroom mom friends, fishing buddies, but you know, there's no one in my life who's going to help me grow mentally, physically, spiritually, and relationally by pointing me to Jesus. I want to encourage you. Find those friends. And I have some really good news for you. You're in the right place because we have a team of people. No, actually, we have teams of people, multiple teams at Fellowship Fayetteville who want to help you find just this. At Fellowship Fayetteville, we want you to find a place where you won't feel isolated anymore. Luke brought it up last week, and I'm reminding you today, we have all kinds of groups. We have community groups. You heard me joking with Kimber. We have so many different kinds of community groups to fit different seasons of life, different stages. There's so many different stages of life represented in here. I promise we have a community group that has a spot for you. We have men's groups. We have women's groups. Our women's ministry is in the foyer today having their open house. So ladies, find out where you can plug in with our women's ministry. Our men will have a cookout here in a couple of weeks where they'll do the exact same thing. We have our CR step studies. Celebrate Recovery has a place where you can deal with those hurts and hangups that have led to habits that are hard to break. Our student ministry has cell groups. They're like community groups, but for students. That's a place where adults can plug in and lead and build relationships. Now, someone right now is thinking, I tried that. It didn't work. I believe you. I'm sympathetic to that. I actually understand that. As one of your pastors, I want to ask you to do something. Try again. Just try again. It's not as simple as just showing up, but just showing up is where it starts. And the truth is, it's not always easy, but I want you to tell me what in your life that you have or have experienced that was worth doing was easy. Of course it's difficult. My friend Michael Collier, he's an elder at our church. He always reminds us that community has a cost. It requires a sacrifice. It makes you consider others before yourself. You have to go sometimes when you don't want to. You have to be vulnerable when you'd rather hide. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like following Jesus. And it's not an add-on. It's not something that you can do the Jesus following life without. Theologian and pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a man murdered by the Nazis in World War II, he wrote this: the more isolated a person is, the more destructive the power of sin over him. Let that sink in. The more isolated I am, the more destructive sin will be in my life. Y'all, I can talk myself into almost anything. That's why I need my wife. But I also need Clark, Luke, Michael Collier. I hate to say it, I even need Garland. They can hold me accountable. Bonhoeffer continued, the Christian needs another Christian who speaks God's word to him. He needs him again and again when he becomes uncertain and discouraged. The Christ in our own heart is weaker than the Christ in the word of a brother. I need those guys again and again. When the voice in my own heart, the voice of Christ in my own heart becomes faint, I need to hear him through them. When my frustration and self-doubt starts to drag me down, I need their encouragement. That's a gospel friendship, and that's what I want for you. So if you need to get connected, this is the time to do it. You can come by the community booth. They'll be happy to get the process started of helping you find a group of gospel friends that works for you. It's not one size fits all. We've got all kinds of groups to fit all kinds of people, but they all have the same goal: to point you to Jesus so he can continue the good work he's already begun in you. And as we think about that statement, we gather together. We think about what we do in those gatherings. And one of the things Jesus specifically told us to do was to take bread, take the fruit of the vine, and remember his sacrifice. We call it communion. It's got the same root word, obviously, as community, togetherness. And so as our ushers come forward and begin to distribute the elements, I want you to think about the fact that this is what Jesus chose for us to do to remember his sacrifice. He didn't give us an exercise. He didn't give us a creed. He didn't give us a pilgrimage he wanted us to do. He invited us to his table. He invited us to break bread together. He invited us to a meal. And so as these elements are passed, if you're here today and you would say you're not a Jesus follower, we're so glad you're here with us. You can just pass the tray on down. Those elements won't mean anything to you, and no one here is going to judge you for not participating. But if you're here as a follower of Jesus, I want you to take that cup, the bread's in the bottom, and I want you to just hold on to it. And I want you to think about what it means to be invited to the Lord's table. That he knows you fully with all your faults and failures, and yet he loves you completely. So completely that he died for you. And in just a moment, we'll celebrate our union with him and our unity with each other by breaking bread, taking communion together.
Thank you. just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry just sing another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started, and I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence. I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything more than anything that you can do.
my healing, all praise, King Jesus. Glory to God in heaven, your blood still speaking, your love still reaching, and all praise, King Jesus. Glory to God forever, your cross, my freedom, your stripes, my healing, and all praise, King Jesus. Glory to God.
Jesus do his last night before he knew he would go to the cross? That's what we're going to study this fall in the upper room. What he did was gathered his friends, those he had been teaching what gospel friendship looks like, and he gathered them at the table and they broke bread together. After he had broken the bread and given thanks, he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he took the cup. He said, "This cup is the blood shed for the new covenant. Do this in remembrance of me." What a gift the Lord has given us in his Son, Jesus Christ. He showed us how to live, how to be fully alive, to be human. And he wants us to do it together. And so I urge you, Fellowship Fayetteville, If you're in community, reach out and invite someone in. If you're looking for community, there's people at the community booth this morning. There's people all over the foyer who would love to help you get connected. If you'd like to pray with someone, have someone pray for you, there's people in our prayer room through these doors on your right. Fellowship, we love you. We'll see you next week when we gather together again.